If you will all join me in prayer. Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship and to rest with you, Father. We say a special prayer for those people who are sick and afflicted. There are many this time of year, Father. We pray that you just take this sickness far from them, and we rebuke it in the name of Yeshua, Father. And we pray that you just bring them wholeness and healing, Father, and solid ice. And I was also not feeling super well at the time. So, hallelujah, I'm not sick now, but I was back then a couple weeks ago. And I was working at chiseling all this out. And I was shoveling and I was shoveling and I was shoveling and chiseling and chopping at this ice, trying to get it all cleaned up. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, as your mind tends to wander as you're doing monotonous tasks like shoveling snow, I was thinking about, you know, I got it pretty good. I got a job doing what I love in a ministry that I care deeply for. I have a beautiful wife and son. And Yahweh just blessed me in so many ways. Like, he's blessed me in so many ways. In just my day-to-day life, you know, my day-to-day life. Now, that's not to say I've not had big things happen. I have certainly had big things happen. Wonderful, unexpected things. Big blessings that I know came from Yahweh. But they were blessings that come through other people, if that makes sense. Not a beam of light that shot down and gave me what I wanted or fixed a problem that I had, but a person or people who Yahweh used to bless his people. Now, and when I say that, I mean, like, for example, I've told this story before, but I had a car that I bought. It was a 2016, fairly new-ish. To me, anyway. And it had, you know, didn't have that many miles on it, but I was on my way to a doctor's appointment, and it threw a rod, and it had less than 100,000 miles on it. And I was bummed, to say the least, because this was a known problem in these cars, and so the engines were extremely hard to find. And there was no way that I was going to be able to afford to fix this thing. Well, it wasn't, you know, Yahweh didn't reach down, like I said, a beam of light didn't shine down on my car, and all of a sudden it started working again. But he did provide the people that came into my life that granted me that blessing of fixing that engine. And it was fixed at no cost to me. It was just done for free. And it was out of the goodness of other people's hearts that it happened. And I praise Yahweh that he pricked those hearts that needed to be pricked to provide that blessing. And that's really what I want to talk about. It was a person who Yahweh used to bless his people. And you know, I've had no more than thought that this was a, I had no more than thought about this, right? I was shoveling my snow, chiseling away at all this ice, thinking about this. I mean, it was a lot. I still had a lot left to do. However, I had no more than thought this than a car stops right in front of my house. And this guy is from Tennessee. He's not even from here. He was passing through. He was out of the way. But his license plate said Tennessee, and he stops and he says, "Let me help you shovel your driveway." And I was like, "Who is this guy? This guy is from nowhere. I didn't even get his name. I should have, but I didn't get his name." And this guy from Tennessee, who's just in town for a short time, passing through, stops in the middle of the street, gets out, and offers to help. He has a shovel in the back of his car. And he helps me with chiseling all this ice and snow out of my driveway. It was unreal to me. It was so weird. My neighbors weren't out. Nobody was out. It was just me and him in the middle of the snow. Now, I'm not saying Yahweh cannot or does not do things in a truly supernatural way. We have all kinds of accounts of that happening. He does and he can. But what I'm saying is that I think we spend too long and too much time looking for big Hollywood-style miracles in our life, that we lose sight that he gives us our daily bread. And sometimes it's as simple as that. Truly is our daily bread. Our daily bread's not always extra special. It's not always loaded with all the goodies. Yet it remains as a blessing from him to you. He provides for us in ways that we don't fully appreciate. How often have you been praying for one thing and your prayer doesn't seem to be answered? I mean, I feel like anyone who has the ability to pray has experienced that at least once. Probably more than once. We get it in our heads exactly what Yahweh needs to do for us, and then we have blinders on what he's actually doing, and we forget who we're dealing with. Sometimes I would find, and I'm guilty as anyone else about this, I would find myself explaining, think about this, I mean, how silly. I find myself explaining to Yahweh what I desire and what I want. I just want to make sure he gets it, right? I was like, I know who you are, I think, but, you know, let me just spell this out for you. I mean, how arrogant can we be, right? Let's really spell it out for him. Over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, now I believe most of these that I have here are from the NIV, just for the sake of ease of reading. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And I think, you know, we're all guilty of this time and again, but I think it's good to step back and to kind of like reevaluate your prayer life and simplify. Less is always more when it comes to your prayer life. Not saying you should pray less, but you should say less. Pray more, say less. You know what I mean? Yahweh does not need you to explain to him what you need. Even when you're broken or lost or feel like you don't know what to say, he knows. He knows. Trust me, he gets it. Over in Romans chapter 8, 25 through 27. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for Elohim's people in accordance with the will of Elohim. So how often have you been in a bad situation and felt like Yahweh is nowhere close by and that you're all alone? Well, I think feel like we've all probably been there. You know, especially in the really traumatic times in our life, the death of a loved one, it can kind of feel like you're by yourself. Even if you're surrounded with family, it still feels bigger than anything anybody around you can handle. Well, I'm here to tell you that Yahweh is in control. And when we get into the habit of recognizing his daily blessings, it becomes so much easier for us to wait for it patiently, as it states here in Romans 8. We will be better equipped to not lose hope when the going gets tough. And it will. It will. Every single person experiences it at some point in their life. Some more than others. But everyone experiences it. You'll be better equipped to shrug off the burden of worry. And I don't mean sitting down and repeating, it is what it is, to yourself. That there's people that are in that habit too, and I don't think that's good. I mean genuinely being able to release the worry from your heart, to take that worry, give it to Yeshua, go to sleep, get a good night's sleep, knowing that he's going to guide you out of your situation. To be able to do that is powerful. To be able to lay down and go to sleep with the day's things going on, heavy on your mind, to be able to turn that off and give it to Yeshua, to be able to give it to Yahweh in that way, it's extremely powerful. I mean, how many times have any of us lost sleep because of a bad situation? Kept yourself up, worrying. I remember years ago when my father was still alive, I would think about the time I wouldn't have him, and I'd lose sleep. I would lose so much sleep, and I would just worry about it, worry. And I'm not a worrier, but I worry about that. And then when it, you know, when it finally happened, and he did pass on, and Yahweh took him, it was just like, I slept like a baby. I did. It was crazy. But the point is that you shouldn't have to wait that long to be able to deal with it. Now, mind you, it's not always easy. But you have to let Yahweh work. And when he does make a move, don't quench the spirit. And you can quench the spirit with your frustrations and with your lofty expectations. I think a lot of times we just, like I said, we expect the big budget miracle. We expect the fire and the brimstone and the Red Sea parting in front of us. But a lot of times Yahweh works so much more subtly than that. And I say all this because I believe there's a blessing and strength that comes with acknowledging where our help comes from. We just sang about it today. Even the small helps, the daily bread, the breath in your lungs, the warmth of the sun on your skin, the little things that you experience every single day. Have you ever gotten to the point where you think about yourself breathing and then you don't do it unless you think about it? And you're like, man, I got to stop thinking about it because I'm going to suffocate. I'm going to kill myself if I keep this up. Those little things, that involuntary things you don't even think about. Every breath is a gift. Over in Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2. Again, we just sang this psalm. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. We need to acknowledge Yahweh in our lives. And I don't mean like, oh, hey, we gather together on Sabbath. I mean all the time. We let him work. Take a step back to see those blessings. It's more important to remember where our blessings come from, even the little ones. And when you get into that rhythm of recognition and gratitude, it becomes far easier to remember that goodness when the hard times come. You steel yourself against the enemy and his wiles, and you become set in the fortress of Yahweh's name instead of a victim in need of rescue. And when you pray for something, it becomes easier to see Yahweh working in ways maybe you weren't really looking for. When you recognize the little things that he does continually, then you're more keen to notice him working in your life in little ways, things that you might not expect. A guy from Tennessee pulling up to shovel your driveway with you. What might be a weird coincidence, you know, to the average person. I'm thinking, Yahweh just stopped this guy right in front of my house. He saw that I wasn't feeling good, and this guy out of nowhere stopped to help me. Praise Yahweh. It's an awesome thing. It becomes easier to see Yahweh working. And when you're focused on Yahweh's works in your life, it becomes easier to accept his will. It's a domino effect. And what you might have brushed off as minor before can be appreciated much, much more. Like anybody that suffers from chronic pain can tell you, when you wake up on a day that you don't have pain, it's a good day. It is a good day. If you've got a bad back, you got a bad knee, a bad hip, if you anything like that. Or, for example, there's a lot of sickness going around. The best day ever is when you wake up and you're like, I'm not sick anymore. It feels good. But then, you know, you get used to it. A couple hours maybe later, you're like, okay, I'm not sick anymore. I'm over it. And you're just waiting to get sick again, you know? Isaiah chapter 48, 9 through 11. For my own name's sake, I will delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. I think it's important to remember who Yahweh made these promises to. The people Yahweh provides for, these are not an all-star cast. They're not. I mean, you read through the scriptures, and again, I'm not putting ourselves on a pedestal either. Yahweh made a promise to a rebellious and stiff-necked people, a people who he loves. And it stands to reason that Yahweh would much rather deal graciously with his people than wrathfully, right? It makes sense. He loves us. He doesn't want to rain fire and brimstone down on his people. He would rather be benevolent and good to his people. But I'll tell you what, we don't make it easy. Verses 17 and 21 through 21 of the same chapter, Isaiah 48. This is what Yahweh says. This is what Yahweh says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the ways you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their names would have would never be blotted out nor destroyed from before me. Leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth and say, Yahweh has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made the water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and the water gushed out. Right? Yahweh wants to provide for you. He takes every opportunity he can to provide for you. He wants to bless you. But do you want those blessings? His teachings. Like it says here, if you had only just paid attention to my commandments. I mean, that is, he's sitting there. You ever, you see a kid, one of your children, and you tell them to do something, and it's so simple, and they just don't do it the way you tell them to do it, and they mess it up, and then they're, it broke, or something happened, I got hurt. And you're like, well, if you had just listened the first time when I told you. I mean, it's essentially what it is. We're just a bunch of toddlers, stiff-necked toddlers running around here doing things their own way and then belly aching when it goes wrong. That's really what it comes down to. When Yahweh provided manna for Israel in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 16:16-25. Excuse me. This is what Yahweh has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. It's kind of similar to the fishes and loaves story, isn't it? Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." Surprise, surprise. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it till morning. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. When the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, "This is what Yahweh commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil and save whatever is left and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat today," Moses said, "because the day is a Sabbath to Yahweh. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any." So why is this important? Really quick, why is this important? Because Yahweh needed Israel to learn something here. He needed Israel to figure this out. He needed Israel to rely on him daily. They had nothing else. He provided it every single day, day in, day out. They couldn't stockpile it. They needed to trust in him every single day. And we read in verse 20, some people ignored the command of Moses and started to stockpile this manna. People did not trust in Yahweh. They were probably thinking, well, what if Yahweh doesn't provide the manna tomorrow? What will we do then? And Yahweh had to prove this point. He gave them no choice but to rely on him. The extra manna gathered and turned bad. It went bad. So naturally Moses gets upset, and then up on the sixth day, they're to gather enough for 2 days because of the upcoming Sabbath, because there would be no manna on the Sabbath. But again, in verse 27, you read, people still popped out. Check. Just make sure there's no manna. I know he said there wasn't going to be. Let me check. If you just paid attention. Right? If you had just paid attention to my commands, like it says in Isaiah, if you just listen, you would know. Yahweh then says in verse 28, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? You know, it's just, it's all the time with us. It is just ridiculous. These people were so wrapped up in worry and doubt, they couldn't see that Yahweh was going to provide with them with daily bread one day at a time for 40 years. They wanted to gather some more just in case he stops providing tomorrow. Well, I know that he said that to gather some on Friday, on the preparation day, but I just need to make sure there's none out there. I don't want to miss out on Sabbath. By providing for Israel one day at a time, Yahweh taught them faith and trust, something that they clearly had forgotten in Egypt. And it was not it wasn't a lesson they learned willingly or easily, but they figured it out eventually. And he wanted them to know that he would provide them for them while they could not provide for themselves. Once Israel was in a better position to provide, then they were required to do so. Just like when we pray, Yahweh provides our daily bread for help in those moments when we can't help ourselves. We have to take an active role in our faith. It's important to remember that. It's so easy to read this account and get frustrated with Israel. I'm frustrated with them now, and it's my sermon. But if you take a step back, some of us in this room are over 40. I'm not over 40 yet, but you know, getting close. Regardless, take a step back and look at your life. Yahweh has provided for you for how long exactly? The people that are over 40, they're still sitting here, right? How long does it take to figure this out, that Yahweh is going to provide for you? Now, think about this. If you were reading a compressed Reader's Digest version of your story, would you be frustrated with yourself? Reading about the times that we bungled it over and over and over again. When Yahweh says, if you just paid attention, if you just paid attention, if you just paid attention, I'm trying to help you here. Reading about how Yahweh provided only for you to ignore it in favor of frustration, worry, or doubt. I'd be guilty. We'd all be guilty. How many of us would read our story, see us falling short again and again and over, openly rebelling and doing the same stupid thing over and over, all the way up until now? Yahweh willing, it's in smaller increments now. We're doing dumb things less and less as time goes on. That's the goal, right? But we need to break the cycle. That's the point. We need to break the cycle of worry, of doubt, and of frustration, and of wondering if Yahweh's got our back. He does, 100%. Yahweh is pouring out his blessings on us every single day, and we have to recognize them. If you get into the habit and the rhythm of recognizing where your help comes from, and giving Yahweh the glory due his name, daily reliance and recognition of Yahweh's blessings is paramount to magnifying his name. And if you recognize Yahweh in the little things, again, you'll be better equipped to see him move in your life. You just will. And when we do those things, we can start living a life of contentment, which is something that goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about here. And Paul talks a lot about this. Over in Hebrews 13:5-6, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because Elohim has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, Yahweh is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Being content is important, but being content and not worrying if Yahweh will provide is the key. And Yeshua himself explains this in Matthew 6. This is a little bit of a longer one. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how Elohim clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run around after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I understand what he's saying, and it's easier said than done. If it was easy, everybody'd do it. Living a life of contentment, though, is also living a life of confidence. Practicing a worry-free life, and I don't mean worry-free like what some people might, the Bob Marley worry-free. I don't mean that. Practicing a worry-free life builds your faith in that fact that Yahweh will provide that daily bread. He is our help. We are courageous in him. And have you ever met a confident person, like an actually confident person, somebody that walks into a room and you can just tell that person is confident, right? Having confidence and not worrying go hand in hand, and one feeds the other. If you're confident in Yahweh, you're going to walk confidently in him. Like if you've ever met somebody who's confident, they walk in and they command like a presence in the room because they're sure of themselves. And a lot of people look at that with like an envious look and say, man, I wish I could do that. Well, you can. In your faith, in your walk with Yahweh, you can. And if you do walk in that confidence, I'm going to tell you, your life is going to be easier. It is going to be so much easier. We're also to help those around us and give thanks for that help. Like, again, the stranger that stopped and helped me. I give thanks for that. While we are to be content and confident in Yahweh's daily bread provisions, we need to be able to help those who might not have that confidence. Yahweh could use you to provide that manna to somebody who needs it. And you need to be a willing arrow, so to speak, to be that person. We see an excellent example of this in Paul in Philippians chapter 4. And again, Paul talks about how he's so content. Paul's got to be one of the most content men you ever read about. But if you read about what Paul went through, anybody else would be fussing and whining about it. But Paul is a great example. Philippians chapter 4, 10 through 19. I got a lot of reading today. I rejoiced greatly in Yahweh that you last renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the good news, when I was sent out from Macedonia, not one assembly shared with me the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Let's see. Sorry about that. You sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from, I said this name like a million times this morning, Epaphroditus, I know I messed that up. The gifts you sent, they were a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to Elohim, and my Elohim will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Messiah Yeshua. So, I was content shoveling my driveway. I was fine. I was, in my own little world, shoveling and chipping away at the ice. I was fine with it. But then somebody stopped and wanted to be a blessing. I had it under control, but he wanted to share in my trouble, just like these folks wanted to help Paul, right? And what a blessing it was. It's important to be content in the things that we read here. It's important to be content with little, with much. It's important, but it's equally important to let those who desire to help, help. You don't want to take that blessing away. It is a blessing, and there are blessings that come, for obviously, with blessing others. These daily blessings that we get every day, every morning you wake up, every single day you lay down after a hard day's work or whatever, they're a drip feed and they sustain us and they build us up for when the enemy comes to shatter our hope. And he's like a lion lurking around the corner, right? He's just waiting. We know that if we know deep down that Yahweh's with us and that we're not alone in this because we have each other building each other up, and ultimately because of Yeshua, we have a hope beyond this life. But it all starts with recognition. To be able to discern these blessings for what they are. Recognition. To recognize Yeshua for who he is and what he did. To recognize Yahweh for who he is and what he's done. That's all the thief had to do that was crucified with Yeshua. He recognized him for who he is and what he... That's it. That's all he had to do. Now that's not to say, oh, as long as we just recognize, yeah, there's a lot more to it. But it starts with recognition. Your journey to contentment, to recognizing Yahweh's daily provision, starts with recognizing those things. Over in Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 24. Because of Yahweh's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, Yahweh is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Again, here we have another emphasis being placed on the blessings that we receive daily. And the fact that we're not all wiped from the face of the earth every day is a blessing, a big one. Those compassions and his mercies are new every morning. Yahweh is our portion, and we wait on him. Just like the Israelites waited on him daily for their manna, we rely on Yahweh for his mercies, his forgiveness, and his love. And we have to try to be as consistent as he is, which is, I mean, we won't be because he's Yahweh. But we need to try our best to be as consistent as we can be. And that we have to do just as we read. I will say to myself, it's like an internal monologue. I will say to myself, we have to remind ourselves this. Reminding ourselves, telling ourselves that we wait on Yahweh. He is our portion. As the scripture says, I say to myself, Yahweh is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. I think that's interesting that little bit at the first, I say to myself. It's like he's reminding himself. I have to remind myself, Yahweh is my portion. Yahweh is my portion. I wait on him. I wait on Yahweh. He is my portion. I wait on him. I find that fascinating. And I think it's important, and it's very helpful. When things are getting bad, just recite this to yourself. Recite this to yourself. I say to myself, Yahweh is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Just commit that to memory. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 24. Just remember that verse. If you don't remember anything else, remember that verse, because that will help you with everything I'm saying today. Now, I want to touch again on Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the thorn in his flesh. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Messiah's power may rest on me. That is why, for Messiah's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I think that's something that's important. I think there's a lot to unpack in that right there. What does that mean? His power is made perfect in weakness. Well, you know, we're to build Yahweh up. We're to glorify him. He doesn't share his glory with another. He's a jealous Elohim. He wants our attention to be on him, right? And so if we're weak and then he is providing for us, then we give that glory to him. His power is made perfect in our weakness. However, the key word here is my grace is sufficient. Not was, not will be. It is sufficient. It's now. It's present tense. Because of that grace, and the daily bread given to us, because of those mercies that are renewed every morning, we're not consumed. We are to be content in our daily bread. So to be content with that daily bread, that daily blessing, is so much more than food or raiment. Again, is not the body more than raiment and everything? Isn't it more than food and clothes? To be content with your daily bread is to give thanks to Yahweh every day for his provision, for his grace, for Yeshua. And like Paul, when we build ourselves up, recognizing those daily blessings, when the thorns are fighting against us, we can delight in that weakness, the trials and persecution. And here's the thing. We might as well get used to it. Get used to these things. Because we know that it's only going to... There will be good days and bad days, but we know before it gets a whole lot better with Yeshua, it's going to get a whole lot worse, right? And so you might as well start practicing this now. Practice this. I will say to myself, Yahweh is my portion. I will wait on him. You might as well. You might as well get on board now. It's like Alan says about the feasts. We're going to be doing it, so you might as well figure it out now. Start practicing now. Because when the times really get tough, when that thorn is in your flesh, to be able to recognize that daily bread every day will ease that burden. It will ease that burden. And you'll be able to live a life of contentment like Paul says. And you won't even need to be shipwrecked or stoned or any of that stuff. Yahweh willing. Yahweh willing. Because we know where our help comes from. It comes from Yahweh, right? So I pray that this message has been a blessing. Remember, Yahweh is your portion. Wait on him. And Yahweh's grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. So with that, enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Those who are sick at home, Yahweh be with you. Yahweh bless you. And shalom.